million had influence now supporting the D2 lands aspect, the land land settlement. Also, McMillian had a reason for having a run at state treasury. As you know, the last time out was $3 billion. The previous time to that was $1.5 billion. But if your bills are sitting, there isn't any money left over. So you might want to think about where all the players are coming from in this. Particularly in view of the fact that Susitna is originally a conservationist project. Fish, the things that are put out here, salmon in Susitna. I know a little bit about salmon, don't say I know a great deal. I remember as a kid being in Susitna River in summer at Curry, this river, absolutely rolling and boiling, swirling. Couldn't see the bottom of a cupful. You could see the silt come up in it, and it was like, well, just little pieces flocking. It was very, extremely, the fish don't spawn in that kind of water. They may pass through it, but they don't spawn in there. So I checked it out when this was flap about fishing. First is an impediment at Devil's Canyon. The fish can't get beyond that point. Okay? So then where are these fish at? Most of us had to conclude, whatever the fish and game or any balance of others was counting, it must be somewhere in the Clearwater sloughs into the entrance. Susitna. The only records I can show of fish and game showing anything are a few chum salmon spawn about Curry northwards in the Susitna River towards Devil Can. I don't believe it, but that's all fish and game shows, a few chum, some chum salmon. The only thing way I could figure out a salmon would spawn in the Susitna is it'd have to be well after freeze-up and the stream went clear. The eggs would have to hatch out before breakup. And then with chum salmon, that would fit because they go out immediately. But it doesn't fit for anything else. The philosophy that somehow, once we clean the Susitna River and seal this trap behind the dams, and it becomes reasonably clear water, is going to damage the fish of the same people who maintain that there are no fish in the Kenai River. After all, that's just exactly what we've got. We've got a glacier-fed stream, muddy, settles out in Kenai Lake elsewhere, and when it runs out the other end, it's reasonably clear. Fair enough to allow the fish to spawn in the river. And this is exactly what you're going to see happen in the Susitna. You wind up with a ribbon of fish all the way up. They just don't always spawn in one place. They go different directions. You know, miss a stream and do something else.
The alternatives. Gas from the North Slope and a large pipeline. Close that. There will not be a gas line off the North Slope in the next decade. There will not be a gas line off the North Slope in this century. There will not be a gas line off the North Slope in the next century. Anybody who wants to sit down and do the economics of it can sit down and do it on the back of an envelope. It's absolutely idiotic to believe that there is one. And I don't know how much more money the state of Alaska is going to waste on it. And how long are we going to wind up the people if this is going to happen? I don't know. They just are not going to get a major gas line off there. Now we have a new one with Hickel's coming up. We have gas in Cook Inlet, and we already have the facilities, and we are shipping gas to Japan. We have additional supplies of gas which we could ship to Japan, and we aren't doing it. But by some magic, we're going to build the world's most expensive gas line and get gas to Cook Inlet and then ship it to Japan? It doesn't make any sense. It just isn't going to happen. So what's another alternative? A small gas line coming down. Well, the economics of a small gas line were free gas up against expensive oil. It ran out at about 150 miles. I don't know what the pump station was anymore. It's about 143, something like that, 150. It's pump station 3 or 4. And the next pump station is at mile 230. And they didn't build a gas line to that one. Now, they certainly, oil companies certainly had the option with free gas versus oil that they could sell. And the economics ran out there. Now, you're not going to go back in unless you start with a gas line, a small gas line, go from where I got to the slope and build it all the way down. It just isn't fair. There is no way to get off. It doesn't make any sense. Joe, you said LA can produce BTUs just an awful lot cheaper than you'll ever deliver any gas. You can deliver gas out of Cook County to Fairbanks cheaper than you can from the North Slope. I don't see anybody doing that. I doubt it'll get done now that we're off to an intertribe between the two. Cook County gas, continue on supplying power. Cook County gas is a pretty good source right now, but it's going to continue to escalate. It's going to be a finite resource. We don't have much in the way of new discoveries down there. Maybe when the price gets a little higher, we enjoy some of the cheapest gas in the state that now because of it. But again, you cannot consider Cook Inlet gas, Cook Inlet oil, and North Slope oil, and North Slope gas against the life of a 500-year dam. 500 years is about what it's going to take to fill a dam with silt up to about the first intake, or the lowest intake. So, you know, we go back and in time, back further than Columbus was, as we go forward. That's not the wrong time. So I can't see where you can make the real comparison. I can't think of any other alternatives to fit at this time. Windmills, I don't know. What do you do when the windmill, the wind keeps blowing? Oil? I don't think so. The price of oil is going to go down. The real price of oil, current price of oil is falling. Probably by next week or so, you may well have your next announcement of the first major, probably Canadian or someone else like that, making the first cut of a barrel of oil. It's going to make a lot of difference in Alaska, but we're already going pretty far. But the real price of oil today for Americans is already down. We're only talking about $10 oil. It's already down that road. The real price of oil, which you people understand, for the rest of the world has gone up. They're talking this, but we're up at about $40 a barrel, which is why it's producing 90% of America. They say after we have a recovery, the price of oil will go back up again. I doubt it very much. I really doubt it very much. Oil is overpriced with respect to coal. A barrel of oil costs more than a ton of coal, and a ton of coal is got 3 to 2.5 times the BTU. Cheap coal like the value of oil. Coal is an alternative to Susitna. Well, I think it says it all. Joe Usabelli's got the coal mine, and he favors Susitna. I don't think you've got to ask any more questions than that. I don't know, must be a reason for it. What I would like to see, I'd like to see Eric Yule go over the Alaska Power Authority. I think the job that they have done, of course, is miserable. We have studies that are being done which contain enormous quantities of money. Much of those studies are nothing more than gone down here. Studies which were done by the Forest Service, and you can open up the book and read it right down, and they go all the way through the stuff that's going on. And they go back and submit the report. Yeah. People in the Forest Service just sit there and shake their head when they watch it go on. Next thing I'd like to think, to say, and see happen, is I think you're going to build the wrong dam first. I think you should build a little one. I think you should build Devil's Canyon first. I kind of agree with it. All the people say what they say about what can. Problem is that you got to swallow the power when it comes online. You aren't going to have a block of people sitting out there that are waiting for power to show up. They're going to have power.
And this means you're going to have existing facilities. So this has to come online with it. And you're going to have to move some of the facilities out. And you're going to have to write off some of those facilities and make some kind of accommodation to buy them up. And it has to be looked at. I think possibly you ought to let Wauhtana continue on to be designed. But I want to see it go back to the Corps of Engineers and let the Corps of Engineers design the Devil's Canyon project, the Devil's Canyon Dam. They're the best in the world, and if we get a reasonably decent person in charge there, oh, we can arrange that. Everybody has fair access to the material. One of the things that occurred after the Debilius left, there were some conservationists looking at the dam and they wanted to know what it was about. And the Corps shut them off and wouldn't give them information. And I had to ask the community. I had to get out of the Corps of Engineers, get documents out and run over and get it to the people who were looking for a feasible aspect at that time. I don't see any reason to hold back material or anything else. I think it doesn't serve a useful purpose. All you do is anything. Now, you know, it could have solved a lot of problems. It could have got it in conservation, or somebody who has installed structures. The Chamber of Commerce together. But nobody did it. They didn't want to do it. Now the Chamber of Commerce has got an enemy that has got to go out and fight. And Bob Penny goes around calling it sea power, it's not. It's not going to be sea power in the Chamber of Commerce. If it's sea power one day, it'll be a real blessing someday. But it's not going to be the start with. It's going to be like every other hydroelectric power. We're going to have to finance it up front. Susitna should not be put on the ballot by itself. If we're going to build dams for other people, the state of Alaska, we're going to put money in and subsidize. If we're going to subsidize power in the villages,
then it all ought to be put on the ballot together. In other words, if we're going to do it for one group of people, we got to do it for the other. Everybody ought to be treated alike. Right now, most of the area outside the rail belt is getting a pretty good deal. We aren't, in Anchorage. Now, so I think it all be together. I often wonder if we're not getting sandbagged in this project by having it proposed that way. It's just Susitna's the only thing that's on the trial about. How come we're going to give it to everybody else, but we're going to vote on what we're going to give Anchorage? And speaking of sandbagging, I wonder how much the last administration really wanted to see Susitna fly. We have the alternative gas generation on the North Slope. Power generation from gas in the North Slope and a power line coming down. I think that ought to be a real engineering nightmare when it comes off this North Slope. I think they had a jolly good time with the gas line. Then wait till they see those towers up there, which are torquing that permafrost back and forth, and the pressure and the weight on there. I can see, when pressure's not on there, I can see the permafrost just jacking the towers up out of the ground. That'll be interesting too. I don't think it'll go. It can be done cheaper and it can be shown cheaper, but I'd like to know how many times we're going to have to rebuild the line. And it's not a solution. After all, there's going to be a finite end reasonably soon for gas on the North Slope. Well, it may not come off the North Slope. And the next thing I'd like somebody to come together with is Prudhoe Bay is capable of producing 15 billion barrels of oil. Now, for every barrel of oil we produce today in Prudhoe Bay, we lose two. With a water flood, we're going to get one back. But if we keep the gas in Prudhoe Bay and cycle it through and we maintain the pressure or build the pressure back up, we'll get our 15. Elsewhere, you've only seen about nine billion barrels or 9.6 billion barrels. It's not my estimation. I came up with it long before I saw it, but it's over there, 1977, documents submitted by Exxon to Congress. There's a copy over there. I've given you a copy of it.
There's a copy sitting over there in the state library. There's a copy on Porcupine Drive. I don't know why nobody wants to talk about it. That's 5 billion barrels of oil difference. Now, if the conservationists were really concerned about something, why don't they want to talk about that thing? Now, that's $120 a barrel, that's $100 billion. Speaking of sandbagging, Susitna, going back to Hammond, the Hammond administration, I see George Matheson was in here a while back. He ran the Fairbanks Environmental Center. He and I used to go back and listen to the Susitna project. The governor's, I believe that he was the governor's advisor in the hired hydroelectric power. I wonder what kind of a chance Susitna really had when you had an ardent opponent producing the information for the state of Alaska administration. In conclusion, This is Eco-Tactics, the Sierra Club Handbook for Environmental Activists. Introduction by Ralph Nader. This was back when David Brower was running the Sierra Club. This was when Ralph Nader, David Brower quit there and became the executive director of the Friends of the Earth. It says here, one can disprove these claims on the grounds, first, upwards of $2 billion of federal money poured into Alaska to create jobs. The Rampart Dam would be a financial bust, no foreseeable market. Are we going to build Rampart Dam, by their estimation here, for $2 billion? Jesus, we'd like to build a little Mickey Mouse Susitna Dam project now for $2 billion. I wonder what happened. This was 1971. What's going on in the meantime? Now we're talking about 5.6. But we're going to build Rampart for $2 billion by that, their estimate. Finally, in both cases, Devil's Canyon on the Susitna River, already approved by the Department of Interior as a superior site to the Rampart on the Yukon, and would cause virtually no wildlife damage. I'd like to submit this to the record.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The end of my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. McCutcheon, for your testimony. It's now 3 o'clock, and as the custom of the state affairs, we do conclude our meeting. However, I want to remind you one more time. February 24th at 1:30 to 5, Courtroom A, the court building, a joint meeting with the Senate and the House State Affairs to discuss the very same bills. Senate Bill 68, 69, 70, and 71, which is incomparable to these bills here. Also on February the 26th from 9 to 4 o'clock in the Western Hotel in Anchorage, that will also be a telecon down here also. March 1, 1:30 to 5, Senate Finance Room here. Joint telecon also, teleconference to all major sites. On March the 3rd from 1:30 to 5, the same type of meeting. If you wish to attend, well, you're certainly welcome to do so. In view of the hour, are there any questions from me or anything further to come before the committee? Again, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. And my intention, the chair's intention, is to go through the balance of these hearings and then pass these bills out of this committee for the next committee of referral. If there's nothing further, we are adjourned.
There is another participant in Talkeetna.
I'm sorry, I have to close off at 3 o'clock. Talkeetna and Roberta, as I said before, we did listen to your testimony yesterday, and I'm really sorry that we can't take it up again today, but our time is up.
Submit it, right.
And if you'll submit those to the State Affairs, Pouch B,
to my attention, I'd be very happy to enter into the record. Do you copy it, Roberta?
One other person here in Talkeetna that would like to testify.
You got it.